dreading it though, because
reality, Steve.
Auburn just seems, I mean, they're just better than Tennessee this year.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
a better program. It's not anything like that. They're just a better team this year. And Tennessee has, they've had some rough spots lately. So I don't know what to expect out of this one. I feel like if Fulkerson and Pons go in dialed in, anything is possible.
Yeah, no doubt. It's very possible for Tennessee to win. I would say it's not probable. I mean, Tennessee's going to be the underdog
yep.
going into this game. But Tennessee could go on the road and steal one, and let's see what happens with Okoro. Let's see, obviously, how they shoot. Rebounding is going to be huge for Tennessee. Wiley on the glass, you need to keep him off it. And that's going to be something to pay attention to. Remember Texas A&M coming into Knoxville and just taking every ball that came off the rim, it seemed like, on offense, and having a putback opportunity. But it's going to be a tough one. Auburn is it's had a tough week, but it's clearly been the better team. Interesting with the programs. Over the last 3 or 4 years, which one has been the better program?
Well, I think it's Auburn with the Final Four. And I think
they split the SEC regular season title a couple of years ago, and then mm-hmm. you had what happened in the tournament last year.
Yeah.
Go Auburn's way.
So I would have to say that Bruce Pearl lately has had the upper hand.
Yeah. And then this year, obviously,
yeah.
Auburn's better.
But the fact that they can never match a sellout game for Tennessee, how many sellouts did Tennessee have this year? 4? So the fact that they can't match that just because of their capacity is so low. I just, you know, Tennessee just still has a lot when it comes to
yeah.
what to sell. You know, I mean, they still sure, have yeah. a lot to sell. But Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, the better job is Tennessee basketball. I don't think that's really a comparison.
Yeah.
Bruce, that also, that says something about what Bruce has been able to do there to win at that level at a job that not many coaches are going to want. I mean, there's a reason he was there, because he was out of coaching, yep. had the show cause. Obviously, everybody knows that. But that adds to the job performance, I would say, by Bruce to get Auburn basketball in this kind of position.
Yes, he has definitely elevated that program, and he's done a great job. And the fact that I think Rick Barnes, we shouldn't sleep on the fact that he had a big job. Now, the foundation had been set, but the house had been like standing with varmints living in it for a couple of years by the time Bruce had left and Rick had come in. I mean, it was
yeah, he was
not an attractive
sure.
Team at that point in time.
Yeah, Rick inherited a difficult job, a difficult task in getting Tennessee basketball back. Tennessee is still, I would say, a top 4 basketball job in the SEC, top 4 to 5 without any question. You can debate, is it second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever. But without question, I think it's a top 5 basketball job. I've said this over the last few years. I think Tennessee basketball, the basketball head coaching position ranks higher in the SEC than the football head
yes.
coach position.
Yeah, because you have proven that you can compete for championships in this, well, since the millennium. You know, in Tennessee football, it's been a long time since you've really been competitive when it comes to a championship. One yeah. year under Butch, sort of. It ended up being fool's gold. Kind of like the Bills in the playoffs. It's like, oh y'all are here. Exit.
It's called the Vols the Bills?
Well,
it's tough.
Over the last 15 years.
Yeah, you're not yeah. wrong there. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. I'm not
more,
saying.
More success for the Bills, actually.
Yeah. I'm not saying historically, but yeah. right now, yeah.
yeah. Yeah. And also part of it is on the football side, you have more great jobs. I mean, you have more top 10 to 15 jobs in the country in football than you do in basketball. For sure.
Yeah.
So that's part of it as well. You're just competing against better jobs on the football side than you are in basketball. A bunch of good jobs in the SEC in basketball. Heck, if they're going to pay what they pay, it's tough to find a bad job. But in terms of trying to win at the highest level, many of them present some obvious challenges.
Yeah. And I mean, even look at Florida. I mean, you land Mike White. He's in what, his 5th season? And you're sitting here thinking, oh, they got the most coveted transfer of the year. You're thinking this is going to be Mike White's year to really mm-hmm. Take the league by storm, and it just has not materialized. So Florida has been trying to get back to where Billy Donovan had them 10 years ago, and it just hasn't come to fruition. I'm interested to know what your top 3 jobs in the league would be. I know it's Kentucky is number 1. What else would your ranking be? Are you saying LSU?
No. Okay. I would probably go Kentucky, Florida, and Tennessee.
Okay.
Facilities
I like that.
And money there are there. I mean, Rick Barnes is making close to $5 million being a basketball coach at Tennessee.
Yeah. So the foundation is there, and you can win. I love the stat that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Just, and there's just so much Konzo versus Bruce, and, you know, both getting to the Sweet 16. And, you know, when you look at it, the highest ranked team that Tennessee has had in the last 20 years was the Konzo Martin team that went on a run, which is really wild to think about. Yeah.
Yeah. But Jerry Green, Bruce Pearl, Konzo Martin, Rick Barnes have all taken Tennessee to the Sweet 16. So part of a job to me is looking at how many guys can go in there and succeed. And I know you've had some disappointing endings, but that's kind of how it goes in the NCAA tournament. So they don't have the Final Four run, knocked on the door with Bruce. And last year's team didn't get to the Final Four, didn't get to the Elite Eight, but it was number one in the country for 4 weeks. So you can win at a very high level in the SEC. And if I'm putting Tennessee, let's say, third, I mean, Florida's had more big success, so I would probably go Kentucky, Florida. There are other programs where they've experienced big-time success. I mean, you think about what Arkansas has been able to do. I think there are a bunch of quality jobs in the league, but if I kept going through, timing matters too. Like, in the past, I think Missouri's been a better basketball position, but the last several years, I mean, what Konzo inherited was not ideal either with where it was under Kim Anderson. Frank Haith, I think, had some issues there as the head coach. So that one's kind of up and down with
South
where I would
Carolina,
rank it.
Yeah,
South Carolina.
Up and down.
Yeah, solid job. Arkansas, again, with its history says, well, it should be a better job than I think it probably is. LSU, okay. Alabama, Georgia. Georgia's one we say, yeah, that should be a good job, and then we never have results to show that that's the case.
Yeah, Georgia's the head-scratcher one, where they have really tried so many different combinations of coaches, and it just has not worked out. And you think, are all the athletes in Georgia only playing football? I mean, what is going on here? Because it's just such a recruiting hotbed. You would think they would be able to find five basketball players that want to play for UGA. And that they might be in a situation where football has just so overshadowed the program. It's like the reverse of Duke. How good is Duke football ever going to be because basketball is just so big?
Sure. You also have the academic challenge there with
Duke,
with football. That's pretty tough. Like, Vanderbilt, I think, is a good job. It's had some issues, as you've noticed recently. But I think Vanderbilt basketball is a good job.
Should they have just held on to Kevin Stallings?
The guy who just got a show cause? Probably not.
He didn't seem to be cheating, though, at Vanderbilt. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, just gone out others.
Yeah. Revisionist history. Yeah. He wouldn't have gone 0-for at Pitt. That would have saved their program. They were like, so you were cheating and using extra coaches and you still didn't win a game in the
ACC? That's some bad cheating.
Donnie Tindall type cheating.
Yeah. There's cheating and then there's being good or bad at cheating. Those are all conversations that apply. So, I don't know. I would say third is where I would rank Tennessee's basketball job, just quickly thinking about it. Same spot for you, up, down, what would you say?
I think you're right on. I love your top three rankings. I think there could be maybe more of an argument for LSU. They have great facilities. They've got a big arena. It's nice. It's a nice place to live. Now with football, does that help the basketball program too? I mean, it wasn't too long ago that they had Ben Simmons there. Unfortunately, Johnny Jones was the coach, and he wasn't going to do anything. So they've made some bad hires. But Will Wade, if he can just keep out of the FBI profile and NCAA profile, he's going to be just fine.
Well, of course, some could easily come back and say, well, how are you getting those guys? Does that affect how you would view the job? Joel, where would you rank Tennessee as an SEC basketball job?
I think third sounds right. Kentucky and Florida, because obviously Kentucky with the tradition.
Kentucky's
Florida
easily number one.
With the facilities. Yeah, Tennessee would probably be number three. Texas A&M is one that I think has a lot of resources that it could move up, because when they were playing well, I mean, there was that game a few years ago where they beat Kentucky on the buzzer beater. Von Miller's in the house. The place is rocking. It's a program that will get a sold-out fan base if it is doing well. So that's one that you could potentially throw into the mix. Georgia is one you guys are right that should be better, but I think Tennessee's third.
Yeah, Buzz Williams, I bet in the next 3 to 4 years will change how we view the Texas A&M basketball job. We'll come back. Rick Barnes talking about Auburn. That's coming up in the next segment. Also, something that was said by a college basketball coach that it's right under my skin. That's coming up next on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us today.
Breaking news, Josh Ward.
Yeah, Jeremy Pruitt posted on Twitter a photo of his four kids, which is great to see, with his daughter being born a month ago. And Jeremy Pruitt tweeted this, quote, 1 month ago, God completed our family with a beautiful little girl. Having three boys toughens you up, but Shelby melts my heart. Hashtag girl dad.
Love the name. I have a soft spot in my heart for Julia Roberts in Steel Magnolias. She played Shelby, and she was incredible. I just love that name. Good choices, Pruitt family.
Yeah, so congratulations to the Pruitt family.
Yeah, that's exciting. I didn't realize that she was born a month ago. So he's probably, have y'all been texting while y'all are doing those early feedings?
Yeah, I figured.
You always have a good pulse. And it's probably because you're up at 3, he's up at 3.
Yeah, we text about 3:30, 4 every middle of the night. And we put on the same show at the same time and watch together.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yep. Yeah.
Is that Seinfeld just reruns?
You know it is. So you got that going on. Jeff Goodman with a story that I recommend you check out, watchstadium.com. Jeff's been on the show. I think he does a really good job covering college basketball, the sport of basketball. And he had one quote from a coach. He says, a coach of a top 25 team in college basketball. And the story was on the one-time waiver rule that is expected to go through fairly soon, maybe in the next year, maybe for the upcoming year, in college athletics. So regardless of sport, every athlete would have the chance to transfer one time without having to sit out a year.
So you're talking about now men's basketball would be able to operate like women's volleyball.
Yeah.
Or rowing. Or
other sports that already allow this.
Okay. And those sports are real, right? They're not fictional?
They are not dead.
Okay.
And the reason I use that word is because the one head coach of a top 25 team told Jeff Goodman, quote, this will be the death of college basketball. No, it will not.
Was his follow-up question for said coach, can you elaborate?
Would there be an adjustment? Sure.
Yeah.
Of course there would be.
Yeah.
But we already have a ton of transfers that happen in college basketball. Would there be an increase? I imagine there would be. But it's already commonplace. And one reason I think to make this move is you have so many transfers that are taking place and you have so many waivers that are being applied for. Some are going through, some are not. Some are going through in the middle of the process, like Uroš Plavšić with Tennessee. And I think it's just in the best interest of everybody to go ahead and make this move. College football and men's basketball is where it's going to get the most attention. And as you mentioned, most sports already allow it. There are five sports that do not currently. But the idea that it's going to be the death of college basketball is frankly just an insulting idea. Because, of course, that's not going to be the case. We're talking about college basketball where the best players come and go after 1 year.
Yes.
And the sport survives that. We're talking about a sport where transferring already takes place. And the sport seems to be doing just fine in operation. And also, if they are allowed to play right away, that means you're not going to have talented players sitting at the end of a bench waiting a year to play. They would be on the court, on television for fans to watch. And also, the fear largely seems to be, well, you're going to have the big schools, the blue bloods, picking off players from mid-major schools. And I'm guessing that probably would happen. A couple of things. One, already does. Okay, Seth Curry went from Liberty to Duke. The sport seemed to survive it. You know why? Because you watch Seth Curry in the NCAA tournament playing for Duke. Also, if good schools, the schools that create the most interest, are getting really good players, that's not going to kill college basketball. So would it be an adjustment? Sure. Would it cause headaches for coaches? I'm sure it would. And would fans end up seeing some of their players go to a different school and that would be frustrating to see? Yes. But your school also would have the opportunity to bring in other players. So it'll be different and there will be an adjustment and you're going to have to get used to what your roster looks like in a different manner every single year. But it's not going to kill college basketball. In some ways, it'll be good for college basketball.
I would say the two things that we really haven't touched on would be the tampering issue. I know coaches are very paranoid about other coaches texting their players, especially if reports come out that said player is not happy or, you know, whatever the case may be. That would definitely be something where if you're caught tampering, just like in the NFL or wherever, then you get punished for it. So they're going to have some sort of penalty for that. And then also, now, we are talking, I have not heard any language used about when could you transfer in the middle of the season and play immediately? Could you transfer after the pre-conference schedule and then play in conference play at a different school? I mean, are we talking about at the end of the year or before? Are you in favor of just you can transfer whenever?
I would make it an off-season move. Now, I would think mid-semester you would have an academic issue, right, with enrollment and all that stuff.
You would think so,
yeah. You have to be a student and all that. But I would be in favor of in the off-season being able to play right away. But it may be, I don't know, maybe a mid-semester deal. If you're transferring and you're ready for the spring semester, you might be available.
Well, we saw might be eligible. This wasn't a transfer situation, but an early enrollee situation with Jarnell Stokes. Remember when he was able to get enrolled and played halfway through the season. So I think if we could avoid that happening, and again, there are lawyers that get paid a lot more money than I do that would know how to write that, where it would be either a before the season started move or an off season move. I would appreciate that happening.
Sure. Football, I can't imagine that you're going to be talking about a midseason transfer. I would be stunned if that's what happens.
You see guys enter the portal. You see guys when they get beat out. So you would not want them to then, I've been texting with such and such coach. I can go down there now and that'll be my one move without any sort of penalty.
Right. Yeah, I would say a big no to that one.
Yeah. So as long as it doesn't happen during your season of play, we're both in favor of it.
Yeah, which I don't think that's a complicated matter at all.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure, because I was just saying that's not something that we have talked about yet.
I don't know how much I've seen that brought up. I don't know if I have besides you right here. But yeah, mid-year transfers happen a lot.
I hate to say that I'm a forward thinker and all, but...
I hate for you to say it as well. Rick Barnes getting ready for Auburn tomorrow. We'll talk about that. Football this weekend. Football stories out there with the NFL as we're kind of monitoring to see what happens with the CBA deal that's hanging in the balance, it looks like, with the owners and the players union. That's coming up here on Sports 180 as well. We have another half hour to go before Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, you'll hear from Rick Barnes coming up in just a moment. The Power Poll at the end of the hour, driven by Ted Russell Ford. We'll take a look at what to watch this upcoming weekend. At the beginning of the hour, we were talking about basketball jobs. We all agree Kentucky's best basketball job in the SEC.
Yes.
I don't know how you could argue otherwise. Justin sent us a message, though. We said Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee would be our top three. And said, let me get this straight. We have much better facilities than Florida. We've shown the commitment to pay a head coach twice as much as Florida does. And we've had more success in the last 5 years than Florida, yet it's currently a better basketball job.
They've broken through, though.
Yeah,
they have two titles.
Yeah, I'm not sure any of that's really right. I mean, they do have a basketball practice facility. They did like a $64 million renovation on the arena a few years ago. So I'm not saying that Tennessee's is better or worse. I don't think facilities are too big of a problem down there at Florida. Florida is willing to pay. Billy Donovan was a top five paid coach in the country, so... money's not an issue to be the coach at Florida. I would say you probably have some recruiting advantages there. And yeah, they've won national titles. They've been to Final Fours.
Yeah, that would be my biggest criteria. That would be my number one, is that Tennessee is still looking for its first Final Four. They've only been to one Elite Eight. They've been to multiple Sweet 16s, like you pointed out, with multiple coaches. And I think that's a good sign at how healthy of a basketball tradition that Tennessee has, and the fact that you can get fans to come to any amount of games, whether it's 9 p.m. or what, and buy all your swag. I mean, this fan base is great and very supportive of a good basketball team. But the fact that, I mean, less than 20 years ago, really 15 years ago, Billy Donovan hoisted back-to-back championships, that means something.
Yeah, and they have not had the same level of success as Billy Donovan with Mike White, but they have gone to three straight NCAA tournaments and went to the Elite Eight.
People forget that.
Under Mike White, and Rick Barnes has not done that. So, I don't know that any of that's right. And Tennessee and Florida, I would say, they're comparable, but Florida's basketball job is a really good job.
I think people were thinking that the gap between two and three, but did they think we were talking about football? Or they heard we were talking about basketball, right?
Well, again, I will state very confidently the Tennessee basketball job would rank higher in the SEC than Tennessee football. So anyway, Justin, we appreciate it. Tweeting to us at Sports180. Hit us up there on social media anytime. Tennessee will be playing at Auburn coming up tomorrow. Noon tip-off Eastern Time is going to be on CBS. We will have the game for you right here on the Sports Animal. And it was brought up to Rick Barnes yesterday. Rick Russo brought up early on in the game, you're playing on the road, probably want to get off to a good start. Rick Barnes talked about the importance of that. We'll get to that coming up in just a moment.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is he knows how big this gauntlet is that they're about to go into. And he talked about that, just how tough these next few games are going to be. And when you have guys that you're questioning if they're dialed in, like he did with Eve Pons, you know, if you have that question mark when you're going on the road, that's not a recipe for success.
Here's Rick Barnes talking about the importance of getting off to a good start.
It is. I mean, it's important every game. And again, it's not. I talk about making shots. It's the energy. It's the effort that where we know that, hey, he's got it. Or he doesn't. I mean, we know these guys so well. We know their body languages. We can tell when they're locked in. Just like it when we were at South Carolina, I heard one of the coaches say, "Man, I don't know if Eve's got it tonight." And I immediately stood up, and he wasn't even talking to me. I just heard it. And I said to Eve, "Hey, man, these guys are questioning whether you got it or not." But just like that, something happened. And I think sometimes players don't realize it. But he definitely took it to another level, and that's what you hope. But wherever you play, you've got to, at this time of year, it's hard to win, but you've got to try to do everything you can to get it going in your direction.
Rick Barnes talking about the importance of getting things going and then carrying through, and that Eve Pons comment you talked about as well, challenging him. And Eve's a guy that's been terrific this season. He's brought it. He's not at 100%, played 38 minutes the other night. You know, that's part of the where you probably feel for them, because after the game, Rick's saying, "We need more from you." And Eve has to be smarter when you're trying to dribble the clock out, essentially, and you know that somebody's going to try to take the ball away. So it just wasn't a smart play at the end of the game against Vanderbilt. But also, if you're not at 100% and you're playing 38 minutes and you're giving the effort that you are on defense, I don't think too many people, Rick Barnes included, would question what Eve Pons or John Fulkerson have been able to do for UT this year.
And the biggest thing that Rick Barnes was talking about after that Vanderbilt game is, hey, our basketball IQ broke down, like the play that you were talking about where Eve should have anticipated that somebody was going to come up and try to steal the ball. And for him to be so young in his development of playing basketball at this level, you know, I think Rick Barnes, yes, he's going to challenge him, but he also understands that it's just going to take time for some of those issues to get themselves worked out. You know, you're still going to have to be further along in your development, and then you're going to translate into having a higher basketball IQ, especially when you're extremely fatigued.
And then coming up tomorrow, Austin Wiley's a guy to pay attention to for Auburn. You'll hear Rick Barnes talk about that size. That's something to pay attention to, as he talked about Auburn's basketball team yesterday before heading down to the Plains.
Well, they still have good players. I mean, there's no doubt they still do. And, I mean, they're different than they were a year ago, where they're not making normally as many threes as they made, where they're relying more on an inside game and mid-range game. And, you know, they're capable, like any team, of having big shooting nights. But they've more of a, you know, inside-out team than they were a year ago. And they're a tough team to defend.
Rick Barnes talking about Auburn yesterday. So, of course, it's going to be a tough game for Tennessee. Auburn will be favored. I think Auburn's going to win the basketball game, but we'll see if Tennessee can pull off what would be its best win of the season by far.
Oh, it would definitely be by far. What you said earlier, Arkansas is the highest-ranked opponent in the SEC that Tennessee has beaten to this point. They're 48th and falling, so that will be a win that, according to Ken Pom rankings, is probably going to be outside the top 55 by the end of the regular season. So that's definitely realistic there. But yeah, by far and away, this would be an incredible win. It is an Auburn team that is sort of reeling right now without one of their best players, and you don't know his status coming up for Saturday. And that home win streak is on the line. You know, can the Vols, every game you play, you know, while that streak is going on, the odds are that an upset could happen. So we'll see if Tennessee can go in there.
Yeah, and of course, Ken Pom, by the way, just one ranking. So if you pull up the net rating, you have Alabama, which is 45th. So according to the net, that would be Tennessee's best win. Arkansas is still 48th, and then VCU 49th. So you would have three top 50 wins by the net. So one,
and that's what the NCAA uses, correct?
Yeah, one measure versus another. either way, Auburn would still be Tennessee's best win if they were able to get one tomorrow. And the remaining schedule is difficult. The average rating from the net and KenPom, Grant Ramey compiled this earlier, 33.2 according to the net rating, 36.5 is the average rating of the five remaining opponents for Tennessee. Their combined record is 76-33. That's just below 70% for the winning percentage. That is tough.
Say that is pretty good. So out of the next five, best case scenario record, 2-3?
Well, no. I think realistically the best case is probably 3-2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
because of Florida, Arkansas, and then possibly pulling off the upset. I'm gauging yours. Yeah.
You've gone down. You would.
No, I'm gauging you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What would you say?
I'll go 3-2.
Okay.
Because I still think even if you take a L this week to Auburn, you can still pull off that upset at home.
Yeah.
Closing out the season, there will be a lot to play for. We'll see what the rosters look like. I could change my mind, obviously, if John Fulkerson goes down or something like that. But
yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but last week, I think you had Tennessee going 7-0 in their final seven games. Is that right?
I think that is a bit of an overstatement. Okay. Joel does not have that tape.
Yeah, he won't find that, 7-0. But you were quite bullish last week after the win against Arkansas.
I know. And that
you did have 4-3 down the stretch, I believe.
Yes, I did. And I won't shy away from it. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. That's not looking likely, obviously. But the fact that I still think there's life left in this team and winnable games, Florida just does not scare me. At Arkansas, that shouldn't scare anybody. These guys, they could have a field day going over there. So I give them a lot of credit for that one. And then you got to pull off one upset. Can you do it? Do you have enough in you to pull off one upset?
I think they've got a shot. Yeah. Right now, playing Arkansas, that looks like a good time.
Yeah. I mean, let's get Kumwa in there. Let's see if he can go off, right? Let's get Devontae Gaines a little more action for Spider-Man.
I think Kumwa played 19 minutes against Arkansas last week. Missouri plays there tomorrow. If Mizzou goes there and wins, Arkansas's, they've called it a season, right?
Yeah, they're going to be.
I mean, Missouri's playing hard, and they're not an easy out, but I don't think Missouri's won on the road in the SEC, and they're a bottom five team in the conference. So, come on, if you're losing at home against Missouri, Joel, you've said, see you next year.
I called Arkansas season last week. I said if they lost to Florida on Tuesday, their season was over, and they did. So, I mean, at this point, if they go and beat Missouri, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I don't care. And Arkansas fans shouldn't care either. And Missouri fans also should not care if you lose to Arkansas.
There are a lot of fans at this point. Yeah.
You're talking about just a waste of time.
Spring practice starts soon. We'll come back with a final segment, the Power Poll, driven by Ted Russell Ford, and then Sports Talk at 3 o'clock here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
So we can expect some interesting tweets at you in a little bit, Josh Ward. You're going to join the Barrett Salee Club?
Yeah, probably so. I'm ruffling feathers, you think, here on a Friday afternoon?
Apparently.
I'm excited. Weekend's here. We're having a good time.
It's a beautiful day outside. But yeah, anytime you're going to rank Florida ahead of Tennessee in anything, you got to be prepared to bring the facts, which you have.
Yeah.
You've done a great job of it. And we're not saying it's this huge gap. People are thinking it's like the Mississippi River between Florida and Tennessee. Nobody said that at all. We're just doing a simple ranking where Tennessee is still a top three basketball program in the SEC.
Yeah,
and
look,
that's not good enough.
Look, we've lost our minds if calling Tennessee the third best job in the SEC in basketball is an insult. I mean, come on. Yeah. So I think most people recognize that.
Yeah. But it's been fun. I've been here for it. I like it.
Now, off the air a moment ago, Joel will back me up on this. You said that Tennessee should change its colors. That you don't think orange and white should be the colors anymore.
656-9900.
John and Jimmy, John's on the road, but Jimmy will take care of you on that coming up at the start of the show. Let him know your opinion on Heather's idea of changing the colors. All right, we're out of control for the final segment. Let's get it back in order with this phone number, 656-WINS, 656-9467. First one, if you're the lucky first caller, you qualify with the Coors Light Climb to the Championship. That means a chance to win two tickets for all of the men's basketball tournament games coming up in Nashville next month, plus $500 spending cash. 6-5-6 wins to try to qualify with the Coors Light climb to the championship.
All right. Good luck to one of our listeners, and we hope that Tennessee can sort of manufacture a run, and let's see how long they can stick around in the SEC tournament. History, though, not on the Vols side in that one.
It's going to be tough, no doubt. One other note as we close out the week here. Congrats on a really good run here to Steve McGargy. He is with the Associated Press. Yeah. He's moving on. He's still with the AP, but going up to Milwaukee. He's been covering Tennessee for years, and a really good guy, did a really good job. So all the best to him. And thanks for a job well done here in Knoxville.
Yeah, he was always awesome, asked great questions. I think his coverage was fantastic for the Associated Press, and just a really nice guy, and a big marathon runner. You know, that was something I learned about Steve sitting next to him in all those press conferences. So good times and continued success to Steve in the future.
Yeah, and I heard it can kind of get cold up there. So I saw him, he got himself a new coat before he takes the trip up north.
So is he going to be covering, does he get to meet Giannis at all?
At some point they could cross paths. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. He'll notice if Giannis walks by.
Yeah, I think you will. Yeah. Definitely.
So all the best to Steve as he makes that move. Did a really good job here in Knoxville covering Tennessee for the Associated Press. Sports Talk coming up at 3:00. Before we get there, let's hit today's Power Poll.
The Power Poll.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Pole, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
All righty, with the weekend upon us, we have five things to watch this upcoming weekend. We can bounce around to a number of different sports as we hit this time of year. Joel, would you like to lead us off with your top five things to watch this weekend?
Yeah, number five, I've got college basketball, the late Saturday night game, potential upset alert for Gonzaga going on the road to BYU. Been a fairly tough place to play. That's a top 25 team with the Cougars. TJ Hawes and Yoli Childs have put together some really good games for BYU, so see if somebody can finally give Gonzaga a run in the WCC. Number four, Pac-12 action. Arizona is at Oregon, so two ranked teams in the Pac-12. Bill Walton's probably going to be on the call, and it's probably going to get a little weird. Number three, the XFL. You got all eight teams, all four games, network television. The Battlehawks play Sunday at 3, so yeah, looking to bounce back from the loss from last week. Number two, Celtics-Lakers on Sunday. That's the ABC game monster matchup between a couple of the best in the Eastern and Western Conference. And number one, Kansas-Baylor at noon tomorrow. That's going to be a big-time game. Kansas trying to get some revenge after the Bears went into Fog Allen Fieldhouse and beat them by 12 the first time around those two teams played.
All righty, Heather, your top five things to watch this upcoming weekend.
Honorable mention for me, because it's been a couple of weekends, so you have to keep watch. Any more comments on the Astros? So I'm going to be watching for those to come out.
There will
so that's
be
my
comments on the Astros. I can promise you that.
Especially now after Big Poppy just went and stoked the fire up a little bit, calling Mike Fiers a snitch. Number five is going to be women's SEC basketball. You've got South Carolina that's going to travel to Kentucky this weekend. Also, Lady Vols home game versus Vanderbilt. It's their bleed pink game. So like the first 5,000 fans that arrive at their arena get a free shirt and all kinds of cool stuff. They're going to have a whole kids zone set up. So check out the interwebs, utsports.com, for all those details. So SEC women's basketball. Number four is going to be Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I cannot wait. I might get to talk about it with you on Monday. So I'm really excited about that. Number three is going to be Wilder versus Fury. I probably won't watch it, but for people that are interested, it's on.
It's
watch
a big fight, yeah.
Yeah, it's huge.
Big buildup.
It's going to be huge. Number two is going to be the Roughnecks, 2-0, taking on the Vipers, 0-2. Do the Vipers get their first win, or do the Roughnecks stay undefeated?
That's
a lot of intrigue.
Big beatdown.
And then, as Joel said, Baylor, Kansas. That's the number one game of the weekend.
Yeah,
and luckily, it's not on ESPN Plus for me.
You're taking Baylor to get its 24th straight win?
Yeah, 24 in a row. I know that's going to be hard.
Haven't lost since the second game of the season.
This has this is the biggest game environment that will have hit Waco ever in the since this coach has been there.
Honorable mention, NFL news. Do we get some word on the collective bargaining agreement? So pay attention to there. Watch social media, listen for Sports Talk if there's some news that comes out as a vote is expected. Number five, racing at Vegas in NASCAR as they get ready for weekend number two. A lot of what happened in the Daytona 500, of course, has shifted the conversation to Ryan Newman. So glad to see that he's doing well. He won't be racing this weekend, but they get back on the track. Lead Lap will be talking about it tomorrow morning starting at 10. XFL, I'll go with the Battle Hawks versus New York, because you also have the storyline of Matt McGloin last week calling out his coaching staff during the game. Now he goes on the road looking to bounce back against St. Louis, making its home debut there in St. Louis. Crowd's going to be exciting Sunday, 3 o'clock, ESPN. Fury and Wilder, number three. You could really move it up to number one. Part of the issue is that I probably won't see it at home. But it's a huge deal. Fury Wilder coming up tomorrow night. And then I put two NBA games, Philly at Milwaukee tomorrow night, and then Boston and LA. So you get Embiid versus Giannis in the Eastern Conference. And then always good when Boston and LA get together. Baylor, Kansas, number one. It is a sweep across the top in college basketball, number one versus number three. That is the Power Poll. It's driven by Ted Russell Ford. Find him online, tedrussellford.net. Find them on Kingston Pike, Parkside Drive, and they have huge savings with Ford Truck Month. They have a great selection of pre-owned vehicles as well for you, with huge savings available at the locally owned and operated Ted Russell Ford Lincoln. All right, what did we miss today?
I don't think we missed anything. I think we have we have really covered the gamut, especially with this whole collective bargaining agreement that is looking like it's choppy waters right now for the NFL. I know that the initial vote passed, 6-5. They are going to give it to the 32 board of governors, or whatever they call it, the representatives.
Well, the 6-5 vote was against from the executive committee.
Yeah, but they're still
going
to move. Yeah, they're still going to move forward with giving it to the 32, who will then have another vote. So I don't know. It's looking dicey, especially if J.J. Watt, which I would imagine him and
Richard Sherman, a couple of strong voices.
Yeah, yeah. People are listening when they talk.
I don't know what's going to happen, but if I had to guess, I would guess the waters get a little choppier in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. I think it could honestly come down to the, I don't know how close it gets to the season, but you're going to hear rumblings of a lockout.
Yeah, I tell you what, one thing I meant to mention earlier, Jeff Fisher going into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, forgot to talk about it at the start of the show, but good for him. I know there's the 7-9 jokes with Jeff Fisher. He had a really good run, almost won a Super Bowl with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, so congrats to him going into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame.
Joel, thanks. Don't forget Saturday Sports Talk with him and Eric Kane tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Heather, thank you. Thanks for being with us. Sports Talk is next on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.